Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to this week's Hamersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about what you should be looking at week to week, month to month, and overall, year to year in your business. To give you a bit of a structure about what are the most important things to do when, at which point you should be looking at things daily. And we just get into a lot of experience around running an e-commerce business. So hopefully you found this useful. Let's get started. Hi Ian, welcome to another session of our podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, yeah, excellent. Good to hear you.
Yeah, this week I wanted to cover a lot of the things we talk to e-commerce owners and e-commerce CEOs when they say, you know, what should we be looking at each week? What should we be doing each week? And what should we be doing each month? And maybe what should we be doing each quarter? And maybe even what should we be doing each year, and like what things to look at each period.
Yeah,
because it's very difficult to kind of, well, you get very much focused on all the numbers coming at you all at once, and how can you make sure your time is spent in the best way to focus, you know, what you're doing to make sure that you have the biggest impact on your business. So let's first talk about what you should do each week. Yeah. I think that's good.
Well, I think this is a really interesting topic, because essentially it's like saying, well, how should I run an e-commerce department? You know, how do I run it? You know, how do I know what's the structure of it? You know, what should I be looking at on a Monday, every Monday? What should I be looking at on a monthly basis or a quarterly? How do I set my targets, and how do I hold my staff accountable, and what should I be holding them accountable for looking at, and how can I get the biggest bang for buck for my time if it's you on your own? And I think it's so important. And I actually think I know that I've been asked that question a lot over the last 16 years of actually helping people understand what the team should look like and what each person should be doing. Because it's something where if you don't have a structural plan for managing your e-commerce store, and I'm not talking about how you send out your products and your customer service, I'm talking about how you know how to scale and the numbers and the maths behind it. If you don't know what you should be looking at, you're in trouble. And if you know what you should be looking at, but you don't know what those things are, then you're in trouble. You don't know if you're doing well or bad. You don't know which area to focus on. So you need to know what to be looking at, what those things should be when you know what you should be looking at, and then what happens when you change them and what effect that has on your revenue. And there'll be things that you need to be looking at on a monthly basis, and a weekly basis, and a daily basis.
Okay.
And obviously a yearly basis as well. So that's just a little bit of a, you know, pre-introduction just to set the scene, because it's really, really important you get it right.
So let's break that down, and it's the simplest level. What should you be looking at, you know, once a week?
Okay. Well, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to be a pain. I'm going to say that you need to start with the bigger picture stuff first.
Okay.
Because there's no point looking at your micro things if you haven't got the fundamental foundations right. You've got to have the basics right.
Okay.
Once you've got the basics right, then you can start looking at the small things. Because otherwise, you're essentially focusing on a tiny little element of your e-commerce site when, like, your your homepage or product page might be bouncing at like 85%.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So you've got to put the targets in place first. You've got to go, right, we're doing 250,000 and we want to get to 3 million in 3 years' time. You know, you've got to know what those maths look like fundamentally. You've got to have that big plan. You've got to have that, right, what is our 3 year plan? Like, where do we want to be? You know, so if you then go, well, if we're doing £250,000 now, we want to be doing £3 million by that point. What does our average order value need to be? What does our traffic need to be? What does our conversion rate need to be? And then you break those down. And that, if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know how we do it. We have a target dashboard, a framework for that. And you put your numbers in. If anyone wants it, just email us or put it on LinkedIn or you know, we'll put it in the show notes. But that essentially gives you, right, this is my big, you know, long-term plan. And it can be quite big and bold. You know, it's the one that you can make it quite big. You say, right, I want to be doing 3 million in 3 years' time. And then it breaks it down to where you need to be, because then it forces you to focus on things like, well, our average order value is only £50 at the moment. We've got to get that to 85. Otherwise, we're never going to be hitting 3 million. The max we could do probably would be, you know, 1.2 million.
Yeah.
So it forces you to think about this fundamentals.
It's exactly what I'm going through with the mastermind program at the moment. They're just all filling in their target sheets at the moment.
Cool.
Because it's understanding, you know, if they just put the numbers in and go, right, well, if in order to hit, you know, 2 million, then I need to get this much traffic, and then they know that is, you know, that's too expensive for them, then they can see, well, I can't, that's physically impossible. We're going to have to get the average order value, but, or we're going to have to get the add to basket up, because, you know, it gives them the reality of what it's going to look like for them when they get to the next stage. And also then it gives them, like, well, should we in 3 months' time? And where should we be during our peak sales?
Well, it's good,
where should we be during our quiet times?
If you go, right, you know, we're doing £250,000 now, we want to be doing 3 million, it forces you to go, well, we can't carry on doing as we are. We you know, we've got to change the business model. You know, we've got to increase our lifetime customer value, and therefore we've got to bring other products in that help us do that, or we've got to get our average order value up, because, like you say, you know, it just forces you to think long term.
So the first thing is to fill in basically what we call the target dashboard, or equivalent for anybody would be, you know, what are your three year goals basically, and then we would say, look at that, you know, at the beginning of each month and look at how the last month went. So that would be your monthly check to see where, if you smashed your revenue, why did you smash your revenue? What was it? What metric was up? Was it traffic? Was it average order value? Was it add to basket? Or if you didn't hit it, which one was weak as well? So therefore, you know exactly where you've got to work in the next month to make sure you keep hitting your targets.
Yeah.
So what else would you look at each month? I mean, anything else you'd add to that?
Well, the main one, if you put that target sheet together, and obviously if you follow the one that we've done, you'll see the monthly KPIs that you need to hit in order to hit that ultimate number. And like Mark said, you know, you'll see if your add to basket is lower than your target. So you'll say, right, you need to have an 8.2% add to basket. And when you put your numbers in, you'll see, oh, we only had a 5.3. So then you know where to focus. And then, of course, you go into that in more detail and you look at the bounce rate on the product page and things like that. So
I think another good point to say is, because a lot of people who, even at most sizes, they don't have the right data. They haven't had the discipline to make sure the data that's coming out of Google Analytics is correct and good enough. So, you know, even the first stage is to make sure you've got your data consistent and it's, you know, it's telling you the truth.
Because it's so true. And I know, because every time we meet a new client, we seem to be really helping them trying to get the tracking right. Because otherwise you're sat there in the meetings and you're going, well, yeah, but, you know, that conversion rate's not right because our call center use it, or we, you know, we're putting orders on from our B2B business and we're using it as fulfillment. And then it totally skews it. You've got to have cast iron confidence in the numbers that you're reporting on.
Mm.
Otherwise, you get everyone around the table and you're not making decisions.
And also, a lot of them seem to kind of, when they get a new website, they go, oh, let's go and create a new Google Analytics account for it. And you're like, well, why would you do that? So then you can't see the year-on-year traffic and you can't see that. And so just keep things consistency. Your data should be something you protect with your life. It should be your absolute solidity behind your business. Because otherwise, you're flying in the wind and you're going to be beaten by someone who understands the numbers. Because at the end of the day, e-commerce is just maths. It's just scaling maths.
Yeah, definitely. So that's fundamental. So you've got to have your 3-year plan. You've got to know what you've got to do each month. And you've all got to sit around a table. And if it's just you, sit around a table and in front of a mirror. Don't talk to a friend. But you've got to do it. You've got to force everybody to get together in the business or the department once a month with that target sheet open and with the actual results in front of you. And by doing that, it will make a massive difference. Just by setting a target for everybody, you'll be amazed because it's magical things happen. Mm. And that sounds stupid, but I've seen that so many times. You're doing it. So therefore, you've got your big plan and you know where you need to be each month.
Yeah.
And then there's the weekly ones.
Yeah.
And that's where you need to make sure that you're, and it might not be you, you might have marketing managers or an e-commerce managers in the business. And that this is what you need to tell them that they need to be reporting on. And this is what they need to be doing. And some of it is daily and some of it's weekly. And that tends to be around, the three golden ones we always say for the e-commerce team to be looking at on a weekly basis is, number one, it's the highest visited product pages with the highest bounce rate.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that, well, let's just go through the three of them and then we'll put it in context. So the first one,
I thought it was the highest exit rated. Has exits?
Well,
we
do the bounce first because that typically is paid traffic or where they're landing on for the first time, and that means that, you know, if someone is coming onto your site and then bouncing off immediately, and what it means is they're not clicking anywhere; they're just coming onto a page and disappearing. That's like that's like your critical stuff.
I think you're right. Well, actually, it's bounce for product and categories, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then obviously you can look at exits later on. But I think it's, you know, the context I wanted to show was that it's like, remember, we always say, let's compare it to being a physical bricks and mortar store on the high street.
Mm.
And, you know, if someone was coming into your store and wandering over to a particular category, you know, it's like a group of products, but then just walking out, you'd be like, what are they doing? So the second one was with the categories. The category pages they're landing on, bouncing off.
Mm.
And again, it's the top category pages they're landing on and bouncing off. And the reason why I started with product pages is because that tends to be the problem. It's never really the category pages. Sometimes it is. But remember, category pages should be bouncing no more than 50%. Across the whole spectrum of mobile and desktop as an average. Mm. And then product pages should be bouncing no more than 60%. So
you won't see a problem. So basically, the reason you see product pages as the main problem is because a lot of your clients that you're working with are very large. So they all tend to have been running a lot of Google Shopping. For the smaller clients who haven't got their first paid one or Google Shopping running, it might be the category one because they might be getting a lot of SEO traffic. So it depends on the phase you're in.
Yeah, if you do, because a lot of the paid channels now, you know, Facebook product ads, and Google Shopping are taking you straight to the product page, which is why it becomes so important, which is why we bang on about it a lot.
Mm.
You know, and it's really, you know, a major way to scale. You've got to get it right. So that if you focus on those, I mean, so take it, let's take the top 20 or even top 10 to start off with. If you focus on the top 10 highest bouncing, but have decent numbers of traffic, product pages and category pages, if you focus on those and you physically go to those pages, your e-commerce team should go to those pages and go, why is it that if people land on our, you know, let's say it's a red jumper, you know, or red cashmere jumper, and they're landing on that page, why are they bouncing off? Why are 86% of people bouncing? And when you go to that page, it often becomes quite clear because maybe the images are not quite right, or the price is wrong, or there's some, it's out of stock, or there's no reviews on it, there's no social proof, or you know, or the delivery is too long. You know, it forces you to put your feet in the customer's shoes.
You're finding the problem, aren't you? And you're honing in on that program. And when you go and see that product, and you've got the bounce rate, you can then hone in and say, well, is this bounce rate mostly driven by the mobile traffic or the tablet traffic or the desktop traffic? If it's mobile, then you go and look on the mobile and see that's done. Then you can also look at, you know, if people are bouncing and the traffic is predominantly on mobile coming from Google Shopping, what other products am I competing on that product against other? What's the competitor look like on a mobile? Why are they getting the business rather than me on that product? So it's about, because you can't go into detail and cross all your products on all your site all the time, every week. It's impossible. So it's about highlighting the ones where you've got the most potential.
And that's good. Stats. And it's giving you the biggest bang for your buck in terms of time. Because you might have hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of products on your site. And so you want to spend the ones, you want to spend your time on the ones that are going to give you the biggest return.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and that and it's the same thing for the categories as well. And then the third thing is looking at the internal search. So this is where people are searching within your site in the header, searching for a product name. And you look at the highest search terms that you're getting, and but the highest exits or refinements. So an exit is essentially the same as a bounce, but for a search. So if someone's searching for Nike, well, depending on what you're selling, a stupid example, yellow lunar Nike trainers, which is a type of trainer that can run it for runners. I've bought some. And you've got those products there. But you can see that 80% of people that search for that term disappear, because obviously searching internally on your site is a massive intent to buy. It's a bit like going up into a retail store and asking the shopping assistant, saying, hey, have you got the Nike Lunar 2 trainers? And they go, yeah, it's over there on the shelf. There they are. And that person then just disappears, like walks out of the shop. You'd be like, what? Weird.
Well, you've also got to go and look at what comes up when you type in.
Well, that's what it is.
You might sell them, and then you go and do the search.
Yeah, well, you've got exactly, exactly. So you have to then do that search.
Yeah, they're over there, and they're not there.
Yeah, well, they're not there because that might be happening. So you do that search on your own site, and you actually do it, and then you go, oh, that's obvious. Yeah, because actually, we're not showing lunar yellow Nike trainers. We're showing blue Adidas trainers. Yeah. And that's stupid because you've got a trend. So, and obviously there's loads of things you can do within your search tool. It doesn't matter what you're on, Magento, Shopify. I mean, Magento out of the box search is pretty basic, but you can do loads of things with it with search refinements where you do a redirect. So you set up an invisible category for Nike Lunar Yellow Trainer, and you take them to a category that's all merchandised correctly. And it doesn't cost you anything.
No. And one thing you can also do is you can use in analytics, you can do the secondary dimension to be page, to find out which page they're searching for those top searches on. And you think, well, if people are on like, for example, the homepage, and they are searching for the Yellow Knight Lunar Trainer in mass, then wouldn't it make sense to actually make that more clickable from the homepage? Because, you know, it's like a tip of the iceberg, the amount of people that bother to search for it compared to the amount of people that actually want to find that trainer. So you can start to understand what should be more prominent on those pages by what people are searching for internally.
And this is, you know, if you think about what this is, what we've just said, you know, this is where you're looking at the, you know, the products people are landing on but bouncing really high, the categories are landing up bouncing high, and the searches they're doing but bouncing really high. This is what you would do in a real bricks and mortar. I mean, it's merchandising, and you know, people get paid millions of pounds a year to come in to a store and lay that store out in a different way and merchandise it by putting products together in certain groups that they know makes them pick it up. You know, where, how they found out that the guys, you know, when they're coming home from work and the partner would phone up and say, hey, get some nappies on the way home, run out. They put the red wine next to the nappies because they'd, oh, yeah, I can have a bottle of wine. And they knew that because they'd merchandised it and they played with it and changed it.
That red wine story is the second time you've mentioned it on the podcast.
I know.
That seems like it's
great.
Quite close to your heart at the moment.
It's one of those stories that people go, oh, yeah, cool. It is a cool story. You wouldn't have known.
You've just had a new baby and you'd be buying red wine and nappies all the time.
Yes.
They should put the nappies for you.
I can't buy
the nappies next to the red wine.
I cannot buy nappies unless I buy a bottle of red wine now.
Yeah. They should do a deal. Two nappies, a bottle of red wine.
I even told the shopping assistant in Aldi that you really should put the red wine next to this. And they didn't really seem to be interested in what I was saying.
If only they realised you're an e-commerce guru.
I die, totally, absolutely. Yeah. But anyway, that is
get
what
your
we're
hat
doing here.
With it on.
It's like this is like business as usual. This is like going into your store and following, watching people coming into the shop and seeing them picking up the product and then just dropping it on the floor and walking out, or trying to find a category and they can't find it, walking around the shop. It'd be amazing if you could actually see your shoppers online as if it was a real store and watch what they do, where they come in, where they go, what they're asking for, looking at the signpost going, where is that thing? I can't find it. And then getting to the products and just going, nah. It's so important because these are things that you can do really quickly, don't cost you any money.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need complicated development work. You don't need, loads of crazy, you know, AI driven algorithms to do this. This is about going into your site and optimizing it based on real simple data. And that's what you're going to do on a weekly basis. And that's what, like, if you're not looking at the top 10 highest bounced but biggest landed on product pages every single Monday, you're wasting time, because there's nothing else that you could do that would have a bigger impact on your revenue. Nothing. No. It's like 101.
What would you say
You can automate this. I know, but you do this in Google Analytics, and you can send an automated dashboard.
You can send an automated email, can't you?
You don't have to do it every week manually. Get it to automatically send it to you based on criteria. Yeah. That's so easy to do.
Yeah.
Every Monday, send you a report.
I've set a lot of those up.
Stop now.
No, that's all good. It was actually a point I was going to make. It's automated, so it comes to your email.
Yeah.
So you get. So it's not something you have to manually do, because then it's right there in front of you, and you go, right, this is what I do.
It can be whatever day
you want to do.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, start, you know, Monday's a good day because you're going
to
do it.
To attack the week.
You know, Friday's bad.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it.
No.
Because no one's screaming at you to do it, because you're focusing on customer service and margins and stuff. No one's telling you to do this. So but it's really important.
What would you look at day to day? You know, what do you, is, you know, we tend to have the weekly ones and we have the monthly ones and stuff like that. But, you know, each day, do you think people should be, I mean, I know when you get really large and you're doing a significant amount of day each day, you know, people actually have teams that monitor it and then they change the offers throughout the day based
on that's what When you get really big, yes, you're saying that, right, by this point in the day, at 2 o'clock during the day, we should have done £160,000 a day so far, or even more, could be, you know, £600,000. And if they are below a certain point during the day, they'll automatically switch on an offer. Mm. And it'll say something like, right, for the next hour, we're going to do 10% off or free delivery. And essentially, yeah, it hits them, everyone who's shopping at that time. And they trigger the shopping cart abandonment rules and everything to then put the offers on. So that's like, you know, immediate merchandising, you know, during the day.
But I would venture to say, if you were smaller than a million a year, or even probably more than that, there's nothing really to look at each day. You should look at the weekly ones, mm-hmm, and then you should have your stuff to do that you are improving the website, and you should, yeah, be focusing on that rather than jumping into the real-time stats, because you're not doing enough revenue each day to have meaningful data,
yeah,
to act on.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's almost, you know, until you're doing probably I would say maybe up to 5 million, you know,
yeah,
because, you know, but what you need to do is block your time. So each week you're saying, right, on Monday, we're going to go through this report, and this report.
Yeah.
And on the third Monday of every month, we are going to go through our target dashboard, and we're going to go through how far off we are. Yeah. Actually, that don't do on the third month. Sorry, do it the first Monday of the first month for the previous month. That's what we always do.
Yeah.
So you're basically trying to do it as early as you can within the month to look at the previous month's data.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point you might want to start doing this on a weekly basis so you can react quicker. But I think actually there's so much to do, and you'd be making big decisions, that you almost need to, you know, you agree your plan, you agree your roadmap based on these statistics, and you get on with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And I would argue that you want your agencies, rather than giving you a monthly report, I prefer to be having a weekly report, because if you don't have a weekly report, if you wait till the end of the month for them to report what they've done, it's too late.
Yeah.
To spot a
problem. And exactly. You don't want to be in a situation where you're looking back retrospectively going, oh my God, what happened 6 months ago? Why happened? Mm. Because
or you have a bad month, a different revenue. And you go, what happened? Oh, it was the pay-per-click thing time. And you go, oh, that was because they were driving traffic to a product that was out of stock, and I didn't let them know. And it's like, oh, well, that could have been.
You've got to do something about it now. So if you are looking at it, you know, and you know, you could say that, you know, you probably need to look at your overall target for the month, and you're looking at that on a weekly basis. So every Monday, you're looking at that as well. You're saying, right, well, we need to, in order to do 2 million this year, you know, this month, based on what we did last year, we've got to be doing 203,000, which means, and we're way off.
But so I've actually got a spreadsheet for all the clients, and it tells me, it's projecting the revenue for the month. And it's, are they beating last year or are they not beating? And if they are beating, it's green. And if they're not, it's red.
Yeah.
So as soon as it's a visual,
then you can do something about it.
Well, it just makes me freak out, doesn't it? Kind of goes, oh God, they're red. That's not good.
Yeah, you all have a conversation together, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you're in a situation where you've got an agency who is just, you know, giving you a report or coming in and going through a report, and all they're doing is telling you your numbers. Oh, your average order value was 82, and your traffic was 104,000. Your conversion rate, it's totally meaningless. It means nothing. You've got to know where they fit in your overall revenue goal and what they need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they might say, oh, the average order value was 85. And you're like, well, on our target,
was that good? Is that bad?
Only needs to be 75. So that's great. Or,
we'll put less pressure on the other stats.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. So it's a kind of, like, it's a framework, isn't it? and it's building your own framework, and you can use some of our framework, which is obviously in the book as well. And obviously the people in the mastermind group are going through it as well. But you can get the idea of what you're trying to do. It's having the plan, having the KPIs to hit, understanding where you should be at that point in the month, and then focusing down each week on the aspects of your store that are going to have the biggest bang for your buck, for your time, and using that leverage to,
that never stops,
to grow.
You just repeat that. If you just repeated that, you have your overall plan with your target sheet each month that you're doing your big decisions on. Each Monday, you're looking at your merchandising of the store, where you need to give your biggest bang for your buck, and your overall revenue target for that month. If you just do that, you'll scale.
Yeah.
You know, you will grow because you're forcing yourself to make decisions, you know, at the right time, rather than obsessing over whatever the hell's happening in your business, because there's always some crisis.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's always a problem. You've got to make time. You've got to schedule it in. Lock your time.
Well, I think we've actually given people quite a lot there. Even though we said we're only going to do 10 minutes, we've done 29 minutes, 30 minutes. Okay. Well, great. I will. We'll finish there, and hope you had a good time. And if you haven't watched Case Study, please watch Case Study. It's underneath the podcast. It'll be great for you to see what we do. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. See you later. Bye.